And we'll go ahead and get started. We'll go ahead and get started on the message. Luke chapter 11, and it's the simple basics of prayer is what I want to look at this morning. Luke chapter 11, simple basics in prayer. And verse 1 in Luke chapter 11, it says this: "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If any son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish give him a serpent? Or if she'll ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Now, this incident that we have recorded here in Luke chapter 11 is probably later in the 3.5-year ministry of Jesus Christ. He has taught them on prayer before. We're also familiar with the passage over in Matthew chapter 6. But there's a difference between these two. They're not completely identical, and I'll speak to that in just a moment. But the disciples have apparently been standing somewhat off and watching as he's been there praying. And in doing so, something about this prayer seems to prompt them to make this request. "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray." Something in the way that he prayed had shown them that there was something lacking in their ability to pray, and something that they need more that they needed from that. But I think in a lot of times, the things in Christianity, we make them too complex. A lot of things are really basic. They're very, very simple. And these disciples certainly had seen the results of previous occasions of his prayer. He'd instructed them previously on how not to pray. In Matthew chapter 6, as I already mentioned, he told them first, don't pray as the heathen. And then he gave some examples of how the heathen pray. Well, first, the Pharisees, the heathen, they prayed to be seen of men. They made a big show. They made a big production about their prayer and calling attention to themselves so that people would notice what they were doing. The second thing was the use of vain repetitions. If you think about Elijah, as he was there challenging the prophets of Baal to call fire down from heaven. And he let them go on for hours, and they just cried the same thing over and over and over and over again. And sometimes Christians, certainly some who are considered Christians, use a repetition in prayer, just the same words recited over and over and over again. Now, if that were the case, if the Lord, for example, as we call it oftentimes, the Lord's Prayer, we have this piece here in Luke chapter 11 and then Matthew chapter 6. But as I mentioned, they're not identical. The words of these two passages don't completely line up with each other. They're similar. the basic content is there, which suggests to me that it's not the words repeated, but it's the principles that are stressed here that are important in prayer. If God wanted us to recite the Lord's Prayer over and over again, he would have reduplicated the same thing here in Luke chapter 11 that he had done earlier in Mark chapter 6. That's a vain repetition when you just mouth the same words over and over again. But even we Christians can be guilty of that. You know, oh Lord, bless the missionaries. Oh Lord, help us. Oh Lord, forgive us of our sins. You know, those are kind of vain repetitions because they don't really say anything. Well, what do the missionaries need? What do the Lees need? They need support. They need help as they're traveling from church to church. They need more meetings. Pretty specific. Just the bless the missionaries just really doesn't identify what you're praying about. Vain repetitions. Then the next thing about this not to pray is it's not to enlighten or to advise God. Think about that. How oftentimes do we pray like God doesn't know what's going on? God knows everything. Nothing ever catches him by surprise. Nothing ever occurs to him out of the blue. God knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. And he knows everything in between. And he knows even what's before the beginning and what's after the end. God knows it all. Look at Psalm 139, and begin reading in verse 1. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. And he knows all about me, everything, even my thoughts. When I get up, when I get down, he knows it all. Thou compass my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. God knows it all. I don't pray to inform him. Look at Psalm 121. Psalm 121 and verse 3. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. God doesn't take a nap and something catch him unawares while he's sleeping. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord's thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. My entire life is before God. And he's in control of it. And he knows all about it. Nothing catches him by surprise. So don't pray to be seen of men. Don't pray using vain repetitions. Don't pray to enlighten or advise God. He knows it all. But I want to move to the things now that are the positives about prayer and from this passage here in Luke chapter 11. The first is this. Prayer is surrendering my will to his. That's probably one of the most important aspects of prayer. The idea that I need to surrender my will to his. I mean, when even Jesus Christ, as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane before his betrayal, he prayed in there and he sweat great drops of blood. And he begged God, he says, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know, there's some things about that that I just don't understand. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. How could the Son of God, the pure, perfect, holy Son of God, learn obedience? How did he have to learn obedience? It doesn't make sense. But maybe a glimpse of that is in that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. As his flesh was possibly revolting against what he was about to experience, the suffering and the agony and the torture that he was going to be subjected to as he was going to be arrested and beaten and then hung on that cross. And he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Even the pure, holy Son of God had to surrender his will to God, the Father, in prayer. And I don't understand that. But the fact is, if he had to do that, how much more important it is for us, we who are sinful men and women, need to surrender our defiled, our selfish, our prideful will to the will of a holy God. The effectiveness of our prayer is not in how knowledgeable we are of a subject, or how well we articulate our prayer to God, or how persuasively we present our argument to him in prayer. No, it's how completely we surrender to him. You look at some of the prayers and through the scriptures, and man, some of them are pretty short and pretty simple. Peter began to walk on that water, and as he took his eyes away from the Lord and began to look at the wind and the waves, and he began to sink. His prayer was, "Help, Lord!" And that's all it took. Nothing fancy about that. But he was surrendered to God at that point because he knew there was nothing he could do for himself. Complete surrender of our stubborn, selfish will is what's needed. Look at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, in this famous passage of the publican and the Pharisee, it's beginning in verse 10 of Luke chapter 18. The Lord's telling this parable, and he says this. Two men went up into the temple to pray. So two people praying, two individuals, two dramatic opposites given us as an example here. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus, and here's the key, with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. The man's whole attention and focus is on himself. There's no surrender in that. He's praying for show. He's praying to inform God. He goes on, he says this, verse 12, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. God says, big deal. What do you want, a medal? But then, verse 13, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. There's no pride there. There's humility and surrender. But smote his breast upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. God wants surrender. God wants us to humble ourselves before him when we come to him in prayer. Look at Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. He has showed mercy, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And then one more, Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Humility, that surrendering of our will to God's. That's probably the first and the most important step in coming to God in prayer. And next, and very close to that, is this. Prayer is asking. Prayer is surrendering my will to his, and prayer is asking. You know, that sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Well, like I said, the things about God are simple. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. Paul is speaking here and he says, but I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, Paul's writing to the church that had messed everything up. I mean, everything that he did, they did it wrong. And he probably sums it up right there by saying that they have been taken away from the simplicity that is in Christ by making things more complex, by adding to what God has said. And when this thing, you know, salvation is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's simple. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, sometimes the execution of that is more difficult for us, but the concept is simple. And this thing of prayer, it really comes down to just basically this: ask. That's what God wants from us. Ask. One of Ben's friends when he was in high school had his dad had remarried and probably just trying to figure out each other. He and his stepmom, they have a very good relationship now. And I think they had a pretty good relationship then. But one day, Shay got to complaining that there wasn't any honey in the house. How come we didn't have any honey? And his stepmother looked at him and said, well, I didn't know you wanted any. Sure, I'll get you some honey. I don't have a problem with you having honey. I just didn't know you wanted it. You know what was wrong? He wouldn't ask. As soon as he asked, he got what he wanted. And God says the same thing with us. In James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, you have not because ye ask not. How many times do we miss something? Something that God would gladly give to us and God would desire for us to have simply because we haven't asked for it. God says, ask for it. Prayer is asking. We're tempted to think sometimes prayer is doing nothing or very little. And by doing that, we give undue emphasis to our fleshly efforts. We rush through prayer so we can get busy working on the problem or neglecting it altogether. Well, I can't tell you the number of times that I've caught myself face some problem, some frustration or some difficulty and just been wrestling with it for some time. And finally, oh yeah, maybe I should pray about this. And not every time, but more often than not, it seems, when I finally stop and turn that thing over to God in prayer, the answer begins to come. God's waiting for us to ask. God simply wants us to ask. You need to stop, confess your sin, surrender your will to Him, and ask. God expects us to ask. I want to just run through a number of scriptures here now, and just that emphasize the importance of asking. Let's start over with 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. I'm just wanting to make the point that how valuable, how significant this thing is to prayer. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5. Is Gideon, and I think that should be 2 Kings. No, that's right. First Kings 3, 5. In Gideon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." This famous encounter that God had with Solomon as he's beginning his reign, as David has passed away and now has turned the crown over to his son Solomon. And Solomon's beginning that reign, and God's statement to him is, "Ask what I shall give thee." That's a blank check, folks. And the thing is, Solomon started so well here. Because instead of asking for riches or fame or other things, he asked God for wisdom to be able to lead the people of God right. And God was pleased with that request. God was just blown away by his unselfishness in his request when he asked for that wisdom to lead the people right. And so God gave him a wisdom that exceeded any that were before him or ever that came after him. And not only that, he blessed him with the riches and so forth as well. But it began with just that simple thing, "Ask what I shall give thee." How much is there that God just places before us and says, "Ask what I'll give you. Ask what you need." Look at Psalm chapter 50. Psalm chapter 50, verse 15. "And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." God says, "Ask, call on me." Psalm 91. Psalm 91 and verse 15. "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him." God promised to be with them, to provide for them. He does the same for us. But he says, "Yeah, I want you to call. You need something? Call me." Like the folks that are sick right now, folks, if you need something, contact me. Contact somebody else. Man, there's people willing and wanting an opportunity to minister to you in this time. Ask them. But more importantly, do the same thing with God. Don't neglect to ask God. Psalm 145. Psalm 145 and verse 18. "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29 and verse 12. "Then shall you call upon me, and shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." It's chapter 33, verse 3. "Call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." That's his call. And I'll answer. I'll show you some things. You know what? I believe God will even begin to show us what's going on in the world right now. Maybe not everything. He might not tip his hand about every aspect of what he's going to do, but I'll bet he'll give us some signs. But you got to ask. Call on him. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, he adds another element in there. You got to have faith. You got to ask in faith. You got to ask believing that God is going to do it. But if you do that and you ask, God will answer. God will hear. God will respond to your prayer. John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. This woman at the well that Jesus Christ is talking with there. He says, lady, if you'd known who you're talking to, you'd have had anything you wanted available to you. Just ask. John chapter 14 and verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. This glorifies God when we pray, asking in his name. He's the one that endorses the check. We can get what we want because his endorsement is on it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Asking in his name, asking according to his will, asking, believing that you'll receive what you ask for. God says, it's yours. It's available to you. I want to give this to you. Prayer is asking. And I could have given you many other verses. I gave you so many just to help you to understand. Look, that's what God wants. That's what God desires of us. I want you to look at some examples now. Think about these examples through the scriptures. You got Abraham. Lot and he have separated ways. Lot's chosen the well-watered plains of Sodom, ignoring the fact that the Sodomites are dwelling there. Lost his home or his family, lost everything by the choice that he made. But before he lost all that, those angels that appeared to Lot came to Abraham. And they said, shall we show to Abraham that which we intend to do? And so they revealed to Abraham the destruction that was going to fall upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And upon hearing that and knowing that his nephew Lot was living there, Abraham began to pray. He asked, and his nephew Lot was spared, and some of his family. Now, it may not have been as good as it could have or should have been, but he was spared because Abraham asked. Moses asked, and an entire nation was spared. Because God was going to destroy the nation of Israel. He got so fed up with their grumbling and their complaining and their rebelling and their murmuring in the wilderness. And God says, get out of the way, Moses. I'll blot them out and I'll start all over again with you, just like I did with Noah. And Moses said, no, Lord, because if you're going to blot them out, take me too. Don't blot them out. Moses asked, and a nation was spared. Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, asked, and God led him to a bride for Isaac. He was sent by Abraham to get that bride for her, for Isaac and Rebekah, and no idea where he's going, no idea how he's going to get there, no idea how he's going to find out who she was. So he just put it before God. Lord, I need your help here. And God showed him Rebekah. Hannah asked, and God gave her a son. Hezekiah asked, and God gave him 15 more years of life. He prayed, he got news that he was going to die, and he turned his face to God and began to pray and pour out his heart to God, and God heard him and extended his life 15 years. When we finally get back to our study in Isaiah, that's about where we'll be on that thing, and we'll see more about that, but he did get what he asked for. Elijah asked, and the rain stopped for 3.5 years. That's an amazing thing. There's nothing to indicate that God commanded him to do that. He just, of his own, asked that God would bring a drought. And God did. And God said, when he brought it, God says, it's not going to rain again, except at your word, Elijah. You shut it off, you'll be the one to turn it back on again. So he prayed again after 3.5 years. And guess what? It rained. It rained abundantly. He prayed again, or he asked again, and it rained again, but this time it rained fire, consuming that sacrifice for him. Daniel asked, and God revealed the dream, sparing he and the other three Hebrew children from destruction. The church asked, and Peter was released from prison. He was there in jail, and the Bible says prayer was made for Peter without ceasing. And that angel came in there and busted him loose and opened the doors and let him through that thing safely till he got to the door of the house where the people were praying, and they wouldn't let him in because they didn't believe their prayer. But they did ask, and God did answer it. God's people asks, and God gives. Let me read to you again, 1 John 15, verse 14 and 15, or 1 John 5, excuse me, verse 14. And this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. God wants us to ask. God's people ask, and God gives. How much do we miss? Simply because we do not ask of God. Just a simple thought on prayer. Surrendering our will to God. Asking. Hope that's a blessing to you folks. Hope everything goes well for you this week, and do ask if you need something. Please let me know, and we'll see what we can do. Pray for each other, and Lord willing, we'll be able to get together, at least some of us anyway, live again, if not Wednesday, on next Sunday. Thank you for tuning in today, and let me know if you need anything. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this simplicity of prayer. Our human minds twist things around and too oftentimes try to make things more difficult than they actually are. And probably Satan has something to do with that as well. To try to discourage us from coming to you in prayer, pouring out our hearts to you for our needs, our burdens, our heartaches. God, help us to be quick to ask. God, help our people who are hurting right now. Just all this sickness, God, it just doesn't make sense. But God, we put our trust in you. We rest in you as the great physician and pray for a healing to spread throughout this land. And God, help us to be able to be witnesses for you as well in our community. Thank you again, God, for the ladies who have rallied around to provide some aid and help. Thank you, God, for all that you've done for us and for this great country of ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.